Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast. The fourth and final day of Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic is now complete, but so what you're going to be hearing here is kind of my day from the beginning to the end, and this was a long day indeed. Starting out at breakfast, we went over to Starbucks, which is in the Target store right next to the hotel where we stayed, and you'll get to hear a little bit from our breakfast conversation, just as if that you were kind of joining us there. Some of the conversation may or may not necessarily interest you, but again, I want you just to kind of have the feel of what it was like as if you were along with me throughout the day. Also, during dinner and then later in a couple of the suites while we were enjoying some little adult beverages. So here you will enjoy the full day of day four, the final day of the 4F convention. Enjoy.
So in my opinion, that's the difference between an industrial trade show and a magic convention.
What is he doing there?
That's a good idea. He's going to turn it on.
Yeah.
That's an important question.
Now we'll all climb
like
up.
Said. Oh,
no.
Hide this.
Because I think at an industrial trade show, and I've been to a ton of them, you go there to see...
So by industrial, we're talking big machinery here?
Yeah, and
because I'm in high tech, right? So Okay. Obviously, high tech has had a big burst, a bubble burst in 2001, and it hasn't recovered the business.
But the CES will never go away. The Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas.
Correct.
That
may be
bigger every year.
So. Yeah. But these devices are, in a way, sexy by themselves that you don't necessarily need
it's like
entertainment
a toy store.
For the musicians to attract people. If you have, like, I don't know, boring stuff to sell, that's when you need somebody to attract to your booth, right? So now I'm deviating the conversation a little bit, because the next question after that is, what's the future of trade show magicians, right?
So. Now that I think may be something that's going south, because I believe industrial trade shows they're not as popular as they used to be. I mean, the design engineering show in Chicago used to be huge, and now it's nothing. I don't even know if they still have it. There's a lot of specialized trade shows. I was just out at the ConAg show in Vegas, which is construction and agriculture. It was huge, but it's at a very narrow market. But I still think that a magic convention, I go to a magic convention more to get what I learn at midnight from somebody that I never met before than I do to see the lectures. The lectures are great, but I've picked up a lot of little neat nuances here and there that I'll use for the rest of my life.
Well, I don't know about you, but where I'm from, magic clubs themselves, there's less and less attendance. So it's
an older and older crowd.
Yeah, older and older crowd, because of the younger, and there are exceptions, right?
Yeah,
but they're going over, they're learning from YouTube and so on. So to me, it seems if the magic clubs themselves have less attendance, ultimately it's going to trickle down to less attendance at conventions.
Well, that could be.
I just think that younger people are not joiners. I mean, you don't see... I mean, all the fraternal organizations, you know, the Eagles, the Elks, the Lions, and Rotary, and JCs, whatever, you know, kinds of organizations, I don't think that they have the influx of youth that they used to have. And it's just because I think people seem to get that social interaction through the social media.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's going to be Facebook or wherever else, I think a lot of people are able to get that satisfaction. You know,
well,
so therefore they don't need to join and pay for something.
Scott has heard this. We have a independent club in Chicago, 69 years old, and like anything else, and a new sheriff came to town recently.
Yeah.
And we went from 38 members to 60 members. And of the 60 members...
16 or 60?
6-0.
6-0.
And we get 35, 40 to a meeting.
Okay.
They got some young kids in there now, 18-year-old. One just joined, came to the meeting the other night, and his birthday was the following Saturday. I said, close it up, you're in. It can be done, but it's a struggle, though. And the IBM is hurting with membership. SAM is hurting with membership.
And the magazines,
right. Young
too.
People typically
journals.
Are not joining. Yeah.
So nobody's putting advertising in
the magazine.
Why would
I join an IBM ring? Like, I'm part of the IBM ring in Ottawa. Why would I join that? Like, what does it get me? What does my, I don't know, $40, $60 get me?
Well, I think one thing it gets you that unfortunately is, I hate to sound like an old man, is wasted on a lot of the younger magicians today. It gets you the history that talking to somebody who's been in magic for 40 years gets you.
But I've got a group who meet in a bar. They're not part of IBM. They still exchange there. They read books. They, you know, there's a parallel club going on, right?
So we've got the same thing in Akron.
I have to say
that the unofficial club is a lot more exciting than the official club.
Because the unofficial
club, you don't have any business. You don't have to worry about it.
There's no dues, politics.
No business you have to take care of.
It's all about, here's this idea.
When I had the first meeting, being president again, everyone was invited. It was a board meeting, but a bunch of guys show up. First thing I did, I said, I'm taking over as president under certain conditions. And I said, here's our so-called bylaws. And they're not going to be restored. The business will be taken care of before the meetings. And we have Scott books lectures for us from Houston. We have five lectures, I think, this year. We have a pizza party at the end of the year. The spouses are going to have a holiday party, free food, and our dues are $25 a year. How do we do it? We steal the chicken. No.
$25, though, it goes in a pot.
Well,
somebody needs to administer this pot. So when you say there's no politics, there will always be politics.
That pays our rent for that. We meet in a church social hall, and that kind of thing. We have to have insurance, but I've got a very good bunch of guys, and we have a banquet. We just had our banquet 2 weeks ago. 450 people show up for the banquet. We made our profit was about $2,500 on the banquet. We booked. I had Arden James, Jamal Keys. Who was the other? Just Tony Dowell, a dove magician. So we pay a fair price for the talent.
What do you charge to go to the banquet?
$30.
Okay, that's great.
Family style dinner, strolling magicians, and the raffle is where we make our money.
That's a good idea for raffle.
We allocate $500, and we got a couple of bargain husband and wife that love shopping for bargains, and they come up with some of the most fantastic gifts, coffee makers, that kind of thing, and then we have a split the pot raffle, and that generated almost $400. The prize was $300 and change. So that was a big profit maker. But I said, this is it. I'm not doing it again next year.
We do very much the same, but we don't get as many people. We charge 35.
No, your base is smaller, too, big city, so.
We're figuring on 250 this year, and it's going to take place in about 1 month.
Yeah.
So we make most of our money on the raffle, too.
Yeah.
See, we don't have a raffle in Houston. We have between 200 to 400 people, kind of, floats. But we only charge $20, and for man, woman, and child, doesn't matter, whether it's a 6-year-old kid or a 70-year-old lady, whatever.
Okay.
And then we also promote it, though. We go out and do some shows for AARP and some other, hospital. We're not a hospital, but some other groups have tried to encourage them to bring their group, bus them in.
That's a good idea.
And because we can that way get, 20, 30, 40 people from a retirement home bus, that you're looking for an activity, and for $20, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So we start promoting this in November. I've got a good PR guy in the club, and thank God for Vistaprint, the postcards. Uh-huh. So we get a postcard. Mark your calendar; it's coming. A lot of hype, and those postcards are available to the members in November. With the idea, this is crass, when you send your Christmas cards out. And it's amazing. We've got 200 people on our Christmas, own personal Christmas card. Now, everyone doesn't get a card, but it's amazing how many people will, it's coming up again.
That's not a bad idea.
November, December. Tickets are available in January. And if you buy a table, you get a number. And then all those numbers get thrown in the hat, they're drawn, and then you get to pick your location. A lot of little systems there that we take for granted. And one of the guys has compiled a whole book on how to do this. It's got to be updated.
Mm-hmm. Really? Would that be something that I could get a hold of?
I'd be happy to share it with you.
I would love to get that, because we fumble around. I mean, we generally pull it out at the 11th hour, which is just nerve-wracking.
Sure.
And it would be better if we try and do as much planning as we can, but there's still so many different ways to do this.
Yeah, it happens.
And you know, long efficient ways of working.
Your card, send it as an attachment. It has to be updated, but it's, you know, it's a start.
Even the non-updated one would be a help, I'm sure.
Yeah. Along that line, you know, the TAOM has a website, and we also will post a planning guide so that each year that the president, you know, will update whatever the former one had done, to kind of build on that, saying, okay, well, here's what changed this year, or when we negotiate with this hotel, or, you know, the talent, or here are some obstacles, or here's how we overcame this problem or that or whatever. And so people can kind of go back and take a look and see, and it's open, the public can look at this, you know, through TAOM.org anyhow. And so you can kind of go back over the years and kind of see how it changed. But things, that's why it needs to be updated on a regular basis, because obviously something that we did 10 years ago, let's say when I was president, you know, it was not necessarily as relevant or would work today, because now we've got obviously a lot of updated electronic systems and whatnot, so you pay more attention to the, it's weighted heavier to the more recent ones, you know. But as far as, John Luke, you were talking about brick and mortar. What about in Canada? I mean, are there many shops? I mean, I know like Murray Hatfield shop, you know, closed down some time ago. And
I don't know what that was.
That was over in Victoria.
Why don't you send me an email?
That was on the West Coast.
Well, give me your card.
Well. I don't have one on me, but I'll give you one before the weekend's out.
Sure. Closed, closed, closed browsers
online.
Closed.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Perfect
yeah.
Magic in Montreal.
I've got
closed.
Some other materials.
There's none in Ottawa. No, there's not too many brick and mortar.
Did you ever know Earl Room? From Colorado.
Yes.
A lot of people order online, of course.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and other things.
Yeah.
He once had
the seal of the IBM.
Right.
In plaster, made of gold. Well, he had two of them. One was the regular one, and one was one of the big Schwab's.
So we're at a convention, and IBM had a booth. He said, oh, God, you should be selling these. And he showed it. Well, it was hysterical. Well, he had showed a woman earlier, the real one, and he put that away, and this woman came back. She said, oh, I want to buy that. And she took the one with mercury in its full splendor, and that was Earl. But he had a number of files on a Mac for the Mile High Magic Club, and how to be a member, how to be an officer, ideas for programs and that, and he gave that to me, and he said, use it any way you can. So I added the Magic Masters to it, and that's yours too. If you just
that would be great. That would be great.
Some of it dated, but there's at least it's an outline that you can work from.
Didn't Magic Inc. publish a book, a couple of things by Earl Room, I believe?
Oh yeah, he was his partner in writing. Yeah, I got couple of those too.
Mm-hmm. I was in his corporate basement one time.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah. The shelves were like this one. You had to turn sideways to walk down the aisle. Mm.
Mm. And I can't think of it. Lindsay, something like Lindsay.
Is Morrissey still open?
No.
Come no? In. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Morrissey closed a couple years ago? This past year?
Yeah, this past year.
Yeah.
Probably been 5 or 6 years since then. So yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
Well, nobody's buying, you know, the spun stuff like they used to. I mean, there's still a little bit of demand, but not like, see, people, I think in general, again, are doing more street magic, close-up magic, as opposed to stage magic. You know, Sean Farquhar was talking about that yesterday, as far as, you know, in North America in particular, that we don't have a lot of people who are doing stage manipulation like they do, let's say, in Asia, you know, or parts of Europe. And so it's hard for us to compete on a international basis with FISM when we don't have that same level of interest for people who want to do that. Mm-hmm. And like I will work at conventions from time to time, and they say, we got plenty of close-up guys, but we need people to do stage, you know. And
Now I've got a question for you. Why do you suppose that that's going down in the U.S. and is so popular over in Asia? Because the Asians really are coming to the forefront of that. I know that one reason is that the government, the government in China anyway, subsidizes people to learn that.
Right, like
North
ballet
America,
or whatever.
It's all about the moolah. Right? No, but seriously, like manipulation acts.
Yeah.
How can you sell this in the U.S.?
That's it. There's fewer places to perform, for one thing, I think.
We don't have the theater
it's going to take
interest
like,
here
yeah,
that they do
it's
in China, perhaps.
Take like something like Cirque du Soleil to maybe incorporate stuff like this in their act, or it's going to maybe there's a resurgence that can be born from there. But other than that, what are the venues for manipulation acts, and or even most of the acts we're seeing here?
Yeah.
The FISM acts, like, tell me where, other than conventions, where can you sell these things?
Well, I think there are a lot of contest acts that are just made for the contest, you know, and for magician
competition, not commercial.
So that way, that once they win, they can then perform at other contests or at other conventions or something.
Other question, what's the future of online stores? Because they appear to be struggling, because there's not a day I'm not getting something from L&L telling me, you know, if you order 6 DVDs, you'll get 12 more for free.
Well, yeah, DVDs are going out.
Books are going out.
Things in the cloud.
Tricks even are going out, right?
I noticed recently at Josh J's place, when you get a video, it's sort of, it's online stored at their place.
Downloadable,
That's what I was going to say. They're more downloadable as opposed to DVDs. You keep on your computer or your device.
Yeah,
you can watch it wherever.
Even, like, it's not even on your device. It's on
their cloud. Yeah.
We were at the library the other day, the used book section, and there was a videotape. I couldn't resist this damn videotape.
You were
Victor
where?
Borga.
Oh, yeah.
For a quarter.
I'll
take my chances.
I've got a couple of VHSs.
that's what this is.
And I'm glad to have a working machine, because that'll also be something that you won't find one of these days.
Yeah. You said you were where, Don?
Library.
What is that?
I'm that local.
Our local library now has an app that you can get, and you can check out books free through the library.
Oh, my wife does that all the time, downloads books.
I mean, that even makes you wonder, well, what does that mean for Amazon?
We have the Half Price Bookstore, which is a chain, started in Texas.
Yeah.
You go in there any day of the week, and it's jammed with people buying books, and they sell or buy and sell. Mm-hmm. You don't get zip for the books you bring in.
Right.
But it's better than cluttering up your house, and I'm amazed at the traffic there. There's always a line at the register, but usually. I'm exaggerating a little bit. And we were at one of the neighboring libraries, neighboring suburb the other day, putting a big addition on. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad people are still into books. I love them. My wife won't let me bring any more in the house because I've got too many of them there. We got rid of, during the spring cleaning a couple of weeks ago, we got rid of 4 big boxes of just my books.
Yeah.
And of course, that didn't put a dent in it.
There'll be a purge in our place coming up soon with spring coming.
But there's nothing like touching and holding book. I mean, you know, you can't underline. Well, I guess you can. I was going to say you can't underline and make notes in the margin on a
Kindle
book, but you can do that.
Yeah.
The day is coming. I can easily imagine a professor coming to their first job with just a couple of devices, no books. Move into their office just by walking in.
You don't have any boxes of stuff that you're carrying. Everything's all just on your device.
Sure.
Well, and I think that's why that a lot of people, younger people, are not learning math, because that they've got it on their phone or, you know, the computer, or, you know, even obviously all the places that the registers, when you get your change, it tells them how much, you know, but they can't do some math in their head or whatever. For an example, I was just at a mentalism convention, the East Coast Mind Jam, and there was this guy was doing an ad a number, had, you know, somebody come from the audience, and the fellow was, I'm going to say, had to be in his early 20s. I mean, he wasn't like even a teenager.
Yeah.
And he started adding, and he said, well, you can add, it was like, I don't know, four different numbers, and there were 5 numbers in each. And so he said, you can add, and he said, yeah. He started adding, but I heard him say, well, that's an interesting way of adding. You're starting on the left column instead of the right column. Most people, you know, start adding the right column and moving left. And he had no idea how to do it.
Remember, there used to be a Korean system of math, Chisholm Bop, where the kids tap somehow on the desk. My wife was an elementary school teacher. She went through that. You know, the kids were learning it on their own. Right.
Well, it is day four, I think, over here of the Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic, and we are at dinner then right now, and I'm here with Mike Rapp. Hi there, Mike. How are you doing?
Scott, doing well. Awesome.
How was dinner? Enjoyed the turkey?
It's always great. Yep.
And I got Rick Hebert. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
So I want to talk with you guys just kind of about the shows and the convention. Here we are. The only thing left tonight is going to be then the final evening show, which is always just kind of a special a thing that they pull out all the stops and everything. So we'll be talking about that with some of you guys a little bit later. But for the rest of the convention, how's it been to you? What's kind of been a highlight or outstanding to you then, Rick?
Oh, there's just so many outstanding highlights. Not only are some of the shows fantastic, but then just having one-on-one sessions with guys like Eric Jones and Howard Hamburg. It's just the sessioning is it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And some of the shows are just fantastic.
You been getting any sleep?
Oh, not as much as I normally get. I'm running on adrenaline and caffeine.
I think that's the same. And sugar high also.
Sugar
yeah,
high.
That's right. You got a lot of sugar here, that's for sure.
Mike, what about you? What have you enjoyed? What's been going on?
Thursday night, went to bed at 6:30 in the morning. Friday night, went to bed at 5:20 in the morning. It seems like every single show has been stepping up. It's better than the last one.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is, out of the shows, it seems like there's so many moments of magic. It's magic. It's not. Yeah, we all know the moves, and but the theater, from around the world coming together, it's just enchanting moments. That's what I'm. That's fantastic.
I think you put your finger on it. I hadn't thought about that until you just said it. And that is exactly right. Which it's a drama. It's a theater. It's not like trick, you know. And here's another unrelated trick. But they've all been kind of themed.
Yes.
Seems like a few years ago, I remember that a lot of things had to do with music, and people were really incorporating a lot of music into their show. This year, it seems that more people are, I guess, like Tim Ellis was talking about his lecture, it's important to get some emotion and to try to get the audience involved emotionally and to care about you, exactly. And I think a lot of these guys have done that.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And I go up to all the performers afterwards and I give them that feedback. You want to tell them, hey, you just gave me the enchanting moment. We were doing in one of the hospitality rooms last night, and we're all sessioning, and
having a little scotch.
Having a little bit, yeah, just a little bit of scotch. I'm collecting the corks off the old scotch bottles.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking them home and I'm writing on it 2014 4F convention. I have this mound of scotch corks right now. But the mystery, I think it was Sean was telling us last night that, and it was late, so I might be wrong, but either Jeff McBride or somebody was teaching the class, and he burned all the participants with a magic trick. And they're all expecting him to explain the secret. And he didn't. He goes on to the next trick. And they asked him, well, aren't you going to explain it? And he says, no. I'm giving you right now what everybody that watches you perform feels. And too often as magicians, we know all that. You know, how many ways are there to float a lady? The laws of physics are so finite. But to be fooled, it's nice to get fooled once in a while. And so this convention, it's happened a few times. It's a good feeling. It's good to be a layman again once in a while.
Yeah, it is. It's so wrapped up, I think, in the theater and the drama of what they're performing that, you know, it's not like, what's his final load going to be?
Yeah, where's it coming from? Where's he hiding it? I don't care. I'm lost in the story, the music. It's nice. This is a good convention this time. I'm telling you. I told Obi that, and we were saying to him, oh, it's the best convention ever. No, Obi, the 40th, when they honored you, that was the best one. So right now, it's good.
I think you kind of have some ups and downs, you know, that they vary a little bit.
Yeah.
But this particular one, I have to agree, has really been pretty good. Comments? Anything, Rick?
Oh, yeah, same thing. The storytellers like Hannibal, I just love his storytelling. And then just the amazing...
Yeah, it was good.
The amazing...
Yeah, Chris Hannibal was good.
Yep, and with guys like Carl Hine and Garrett Thomas, when they're doing their things, it's just... I have no idea how it's done. I feel absolutely like a layman. And today when Aki Van Dokkum did that card trick for Sean Farquhar, and then he handed the blank deck to Sean, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. I told my wife, I said, there are things here that magicians can't do. Just absolutely impossible.
Yeah, I think they're aliens.
They're aliens, yeah.
Just a quick one. Sean has been closing down the suite, the room, the hospitality room, every night.
Is that right? You mean every morning?
Every morning? Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know. The blinds are closed. We don't even know if it's that's what. And he's up, and Adam, the next morning, a couple of hours later, being, wow.
Yeah, so, still got all the energy.
He's giving it to us, though. He's giving us his all. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, what have been some other highlights? I mean, for me, this afternoon, I think the guy that did the yo-yo, I can't pronounce his name, Huang or something, it was, it's one of those things they were talking about how jugglers tend to, steal magic conventions, but this yo-yo guy gave me goosebumps. He was incredible.
Hobie used to always say he always tried to get a non-magical act, sometimes the ventriloquist. Just something to give us a little break. This was just the speed of it, and I'm thinking from a lawyer's point of view, I'm thinking, oh God, I'm glad I'm not sitting in the line of flight for this thing, because I'm thinking, strings break, things happen, and he's whipping this thing round and round. Edge of your seat, amazing.
Yeah,
it's just it's good. I got to get to meet him. I got to thank him. I got to tell him it's wonderful. It's just hey.
Another guy for me also was Mario somebody from Middle
Lopez. Oh, Lopez. Mario Lopez.
Yeah,
one of Sean's. Sean was telling us the inside scoop on that. He's somebody that Sean is trying to help introduce to the world. The guy doesn't have the connections. He has the chops. He has the presentation, performance. He just doesn't have the connections. And Sean says to him, I want you to ship everybody. Just come with me. Just fine. It's fantastic. That's what we do here. We help each other out.
That's a good point.
It's a good thing. We help each other out.
You kind of remind me of Jan Frisch a little bit. Kind of things are happening. Yeah, they were just very weird. And, with the cigarettes and things he was doing.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Didn't he got a standing ovation.
He did.
Yeah. He deserved it.
He did. There have been quite a few standing ovations, through this. I'm trying to think of some.
It's tough to get a standing ovation at Fectors, and there's been some that absolutely deserved it.
Yeah.
And, there's so many highlights, I can't even count them all. It's mind-numbing.
Well, what else comes to mind? I mean, I mentioned Mario. Yeah. We're talking about the yo-yo guy then today.
My favorite, of course, is Hannibal. Not only is it good magic, but it's great storytelling. Just brings you right in. Very entertaining. And speaking of entertaining, Tim Ellis, he just comes out like a happy little child, and he starts swallowing razor blades and regurgitates razor blades. And and these guys are not only willing to do this, but oftentimes they'll sit down and share with you some of their thoughts on how to accomplish this and make your acts better. So
I'm gonna mess up his name. France, Eric Rasmussen.
Rumestan.
Thank you, Eric. He asked me to come up and help him on stage doing a coin effect.
Oh, yeah.
Dear friend of mine, we met several years ago here. I promised him I'm going to come visit him. He retired from the fire department. Nice guy. He's doing street magic full time now. So he happened to look around and he saw me. He says, come on down and have some fun. So I go down there and he's directing me to hold my hands up. And, oh, my gosh. Out of everybody, a friend, if you're a spectator, you almost have to work harder because you don't want to mess up. You don't want to, no way.
Yeah.
And so me, under the lights, wearing a hoodie or something, I start sweating. And he's doing coins. So there I am, standing up there, and he has this coin, and it's on my sweating hands because I don't want to mess him up. And son of a gun, it didn't work. But nobody noticed. He recovered. He did something else. It was fun.
Yeah.
He comes over afterwards to me. He goes, we're sessioning, talking, explaining.
Yeah.
He says, did you feel when I held it here, when it was on your hand all the time? No, I didn't. You misdirected me. I was part of that moment.
Right.
Wow. Another, I got the opportunity to look at it from a spectator's point of view, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So that was, for me, very great.
Sometimes those things are kind of one-on-one, and people in the audience will appreciate it from a different level than the person who is immediately involved and actually holding it.
Yes,
So I can understand and appreciate that. Well, and this is what number for you? How many have you been?
19 or 20, I think.
And Rick, you've been here?
Number three.
Mm. And so you've enjoyed them all, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've all been fantastic. And this year's guest of honor, Sean Farquhar. Tonight is the grand gala. I'm really, really looking forward to what they have in store for us tonight.
Yeah.
Get there early for the seats. They'll go fast. You know?
That's right.
That's right. 8 o'clock, I guess. Is that right?
7:45 will be set.
Oh, that's right, because that's when they're going to kind of do what used to be the roast. They're going to just do the guest of honor,
yes.
Give the awards and everything, you know, then to Sean. So
another highlight was when they skewered the guest of honor, when the 5Fs, the female specters, the female finger flickers effectors, brought Sean Farquhar up and they tabled him and sliced him in half. That was great.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, they put the blindfold on him and a cucumber across his mouth so he wouldn't yell, I guess, or everything. That was funny. Yeah. A lot of good moments. Well, good. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. And thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
Scott, thank you.
Okay. For the magic word, this is Scotty out. So we're back on the elevator again with Stephen Bragazzi. Hey there, Stephen. So what do you think now?
I'm
taking a microphone, you
Mike. Yeah, we're getting close. We feel like we're getting there.
Because you're going to be closing tonight's show, so you got some ideas with Rick?
We got some ideas. So I can
go see how it's going to work.
David's helping us.
David Cassero, that's right. Got Bruce Calvert.
I'm telling them to tame it down, but they don't care.
So I got my
going to let it fly.
These people are insane.
The guy we're making fun of is an easy target. Where did Rick go?
I don't know. I think
he went walking.
He chickened out and didn't want to go.
Oh, gosh.
Are you guys going to do something off the roof or something?
They're going
not literally. It involves a monkey, a small monkey.
Very small monkey.
A gibbon? Of course, it's 3, not 4. Don't get off.
No, this is our closer.
Okay, good luck.
We'll be back. So
you're going for the monkey.
Hope you want to talk to us afterwards.
Yeah, Sean.
They said monkey. That's really quite frightening when they say monkey. Because, you know, they don't usually joke about things like that.
It may really be a monkey.
Yeah, I remember the donkey.
Yeah. Well, this ought to be a lot of fun. You're going to have the best seat in the house, too.
I will. And
you've got to be excited.
Yeah, because I got a big bullseye painted right on my forehead. It'll be awesome.
And all right.
Never forget.
Never forget. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
That was Sean and everybody else. Scotty out. All right, I'm here now with Shay Kotari. Is that close enough?
No, that's exactly. Perfect. Yeah, that was perfect.
And he was on the bill this afternoon. They were going for your bachelor's, I guess. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Explain, by the way, the series as far as the bachelor's and all the degrees you get.
Well, the first degree is the bachelor's, mm-hmm. and then the second degree is the master's, mm-hmm. and the last one is the PhD, which is your doctorate.
Yes, and when you get the third degree, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
And this, how many times have you been attending, though?
Oh, actually, this is my first time attending it.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
And so that's why I wanted to talk with you about what your thoughts were then, Chank, about, you know, what have you enjoyed? I mean, what stood out for you?
What stood out is the camaraderie and the lack of egos.
Yeah.
You know, because if you go to another magic convention, you have these people who think they're better than the best.
Mm.
And here you see people who are actually better than the best, but they're very down to earth.
Because everybody has all won awards and done something. It's kind
right,
of like,
right. And nobody's here to show off.
Right.
They are here just for the magic. They're here just to have a good time.
Yeah.
And even the folks that I went to breakfast with, they were just phenomenal. Even those guys were absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I'm glad I could tag along. I wasn't one of those guys, but you stuck me in the trunk.
No, this Scott Wells fellow was just phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate you opening the trunk and letting me out of there, at least, then, too. And that's a fact. So the other thing that as far as this has been something that have you been wanting to come here for a long time?
Yes, I have. I've had heard a lot of 4F over the years, and it's like the convention to be, and I've always been told that, hey, you have to be invited.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it just so happened that I got invited this time.
Yeah.
And I came in and did what I do, and I really, really enjoyed it. The audience was so receptive.
Oh, it was very funny. Very funny. And would you mind repeating that other joke about the scratch off?
Oh, yeah. That's where the American magician asks me what the story is behind the red dot in the Indians. And I go, it is like a lottery scratch off ticket.
Fantastic.
He was, Shay.
It is like a lottery scratch off ticket. And the American magician says, how so? So, well, you know, like when you get married, you hold your bride close to you, and then you carry her into the bedroom, and then you take a little penny and you scratch off a red dot and see if you want a motel or a 7-Eleven.
I'm sorry, I just... kills me. I was very. I'm glad you told that. So now Ed Ripley was your sponsor.
Yes, sir.
And who else?
My other sponsor was Joan Caesar and Joe Turner.
And Joe Turner. Okay. Oh, so you had three sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because normally you only need two, but
yeah. But you know, I'm an Indian, so I need three.
and you live in Ohio.
No, sir. I live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking
yeah.
Other place. Okay. And how long have you been then in Nashville?
We moved to Nashville in 2008.
And been doing magic since then or before then?
Actually, I used to do magic in India before I came to the U.S.
Okay. Did you, I assume, have seen fake hairs on the street and all that?
Oh,
I
have.
Thing?
I have. And then
tell me something about that.
Well, the magic community in India is totally different.
How so?
It's a lot more common.
Yeah.
And even the IBM rings there. If you call an IBM ring in India and say that, hey, I'm visiting India and I'm going to be there, they have a dinner in your honor.
Wow.
You don't have to be president of IBM. You don't have to be anybody. Just the fact that you're a magician, they will have a dinner on your honor.
Wow.
And it's just phenomenal.
Open up everything for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they treat you like you are a king.
Wow.
So that's just absolutely phenomenal.
Now, I've never been there, but again, in talk about the fakirs, I've heard that they do some pretty incredible things. I mean,
they do. They do. And the thing is, the fakirs from there could probably have a show in Las Vegas.
And are they really just doing tricks, or are they really doing some, as far as, injuring themselves? I mean, cutting themselves sometimes or whatever?
Some of them do, but most of them are just doing tricks. But they just, it's on the street. It's in the open. There's no stage. There's no backdrop. There's no lighting guy. It is just amazing.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And it's always your favorite kind of magic. Obviously, you're here because you're a close-up magician, always been your favorite kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever have an interest in doing stage?
Well, I've had interest in doing stage, but I've noticed over the years that close-up is my niche, and I've stuck to it.
And so do you perform for friends and family?
I do. Actually, in 1993, I was the house magician for the Ritz-Carlton in Naples, Florida. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And because you were in the hospitality business.
That is correct, sir. Yeah.
And it moved from, you were with Red Robin, is that right?
No, I was with Ruby Tuesday.
Ruby Tuesday, sorry. Yeah. Didn't start with an R.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then now you are not doing magic full time.
No, but I'm a State Farm agent.
Is that something that you're thinking about doing in the long term? I mean, eventually retiring and going and doing something like that.
Well, actually, I'm having a blast doing magic right now. So,
just like the way it is. And
I love the way it is. Yeah, and the magic community, to be honest with you, has been very good to me.
How about
every magic convention I go to, people treat me well, and you know, which is surprising because I'm a crappy guy.
You are one of the most congenial fellows. That's why I want to talk with you again, to get this, so that way other people will get to know you a little bit better, you know, through talking here on the podcast, you know, then too. So let me ask you then, as I start to wrap up, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. So my question to you is, what is your magic word? It could be a phrase, it could be something that not necessarily you would use, like saying abracadabra, but what is something that's important to you? What is your life, you know, chi? What is it that... Your moral compass. What do you live by? What's important to you?
Well, what's important to me is I want to be the man my dog thinks I am.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Because the dog's always looking up to you and loving you regardless.
Yeah, yeah,
unconditional love.
Yeah.
That's very good. Chank, thank you very much. I appreciate it being here. Thanks for being my friend. Look forward to knowing you for so much more along.
Scott, it's been a pleasure.
So for the magic word, that was Chank Kothari.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And Scotty out. All right, and so we are out here just smoking some cigars, and I wanted to talk with Richard Bangs and a couple other guys, and also tell me what some of the highlights have been then for you.
Okay. A year ago, I found out that I was in volume 8 of Steve Beam's semi-automatic cartridge.
Oh, and you didn't even know it until it was
published. No.
You submitted it, obviously.
No, I submitted it to Steve, and he loved it maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and then the book came out. So this year, I was kidding Steve Beam, and I said, it's too bad there's not going to be a volume 9. He said, it's about 75% complete, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I said, what? I said, I got something to show you. But I said, you know, you don't have to put me in. So I showed him my In the Hands three-card Monty, mm-hmm. which he loved, and his mouth went like this. I showed him in the dealer room, the same place I showed him Suit Yourself Surpassed, which is my effect, too. And he loved that. And this one, he said, Rich, you're in the book. You're in the book. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you're in volume 9. So that was a highlight. And then the trick that's going to be in volume 9 is In Your Hands, three-card Monty. And I showed it to Will Fern, who was only up just for the day yesterday. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's
very well. One of my favorite magicians.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
So Will Fern took my trick, In the Hands, three-card Monty, up to the suite, the hospitality suite last night, mm-hmm. and showed it around. Number one to Dave Cossaro. What's his name? The magician.
Well, Dave Cossaro is...
Yeah, no, I know Dave Cossaro, but the magician he played.
Dave Vernon.
Dave Vernon.
Yeah.
And it fooled, and David is in my club. Yeah. I was president of the club that he comes to all the time, uh-huh. but he's been over at Mostly Magic. So it fooled him. I guess he had never seen it. But the great highlight was when he showed it to Boris Wilde, and Boris Wilde said, what the hell did you do? Yeah, or, you know, so many words. So Will's been doing it just since I showed him. Yeah. Up here. So Will Friend's a good friend of mine. So that was a highlight of the whole thing here, finding out that somebody really liked a trick that I created.
Enough to publish it, too.
Enough to publish it. Because I don't give tricks out, you know, for money. I don't have to make anything. I just want to be protected so that they know that my trick.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's it.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's good. Speaking of Diverna, then, Jason, you were the one, I understand, who did the makeup. For David, tell me something about that.
Great. Yes, it was. It was pretty incredible. He approached me maybe about a month.
First of all, so you know who's speaking.
Oh, this is Jason Giuliano from Batavia, New York. I win the award for driving the shortest distance.
2 miles or something, is
that? 2 minutes. two miles would take me clear across town.
Okay.
2 minutes to get here. But he approached me, maybe about a month ago or so, and we had this... fairly lengthy conversation on Facebook about what he wanted to do and what he wanted to accomplish, and he thought this was a challenge to me, no problem. Age makeup is sort of second nature in the theater that I've done in the past, and made him look old. And as I'm sitting there, I was initially planning on drawing those big white bushy eyebrows on, and then in the bottom of my theatrical kit I found some crepe hair, which is this braided hair that I cut apart, sent someone down to the hotel lobby for the scissors, and I glued it on his forehead, and he had these gigantic, bushy white eyebrows, and I said, it's not complete, and so I made a mustache, and it literally completed the entire illusion, and it was very fun.
It was. It really
to be about. And he was so funny, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a highlight. I thought that was a great imitation. Then also, of course, when Michael Dardant had done Sean, you didn't spike his hair, did you?
No, I did not. I had no part in that.
Ed Ripley, what about you? What do you like about this? I'm sorry. You want to say your name then, too?
Yeah, I'm Ed Ripley, and I've enjoyed everything. I've been coming since about 2007, and this is the highlight of my year. And one of my best friends, Shank Kothari, gave his bachelor's performance today in Slatem. So it's always nice to have somebody that you know do very well.
And you were one of his sponsors.
I was one of his sponsors, yes.
Yeah. And so performing and having and seeing him perform was one of the highlights, basically for you.
Yeah.
But what else as far as some of the other international acts and things you've seen have been great?
The Spanish guy with the cigarettes.
Yeah, Mario.
Mario.
Everybody says that guy.
I thought he was insane. There's just so many good acts. It's hard to pin down just one or two.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of unusual things, and the most creative people in the world pulling out all the stops for one performance is always good.
You guys have all been coming, like myself, for a number of years.
Yes.
And how would you rate this one compared to others? You know, every convention kind of has ups and downs, you know, but we always keep coming. So how would you rate it?
This is one of the better ones. My favorite was my first. Herb Zero taught me the Zero Shuffle. Let's see. The third time I came, Piet Fortone showed me the Piet Fortone pop-out move.
Yeah.
And John Riggs, a dear friend of mine, John Riggs, does Piet Fortone's pop-out move, and it's 1,000 times better than Piet. And then last year was a highlight for me because I got my PhD. And then this year was a nice year because I got to relax, enjoy the conference, and watch acts. So
yeah. Are there comments? What do you guys think? You have as far as this one to the other years.
This was my 13th official year attending, but since living in Batavia and being interested in magic, it came here for the first time in 1993. And my parents, lovingly...
You're what, 13?
I would have been roughly 13, yes.
Okay.
And my my parents brought me lovingly and sat out in the lobby Friday night and Saturday night from like 10 o'clock until 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Here's this 13-year-old that's getting to meet his idols, people that he's watched on videos and seen on TV and is idolized.
Sure.
And now gets to see them firsthand and meet them and talk to them and get autographs. And 10 years later, to get to actually attend is such a cool thing. And yes, you're right. All conventions.
There's Will Fern, by the way. They're just walking in.
No, it can't be Will Fern. Can't be Will Fern.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. That's
He's at a funeral.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just so cool to see guys that you idolize that now you get to hang around with and now you get to call your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I come for. I don't come for the magic. I come to see friends once a year.
Yeah.
And the highlight, too, is, hey, by the way, you also get to see some really, really cool magic.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. You've enjoyed it, too, Richard, I'm sure.
This is my 23rd year, so you know, consecutive. I haven't missed.
At all.
I started in 1991, and I've been to every one. First one was I had good fortune of going to the Forks Hotel. That was my first one, and I loved being there. But after that, from 91 on, it was never at a... It was Abbott's next year, the next year after that, Abbott's Pub and other places. But I love it. It's my only vacation. It's the only convention I go to every year.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great one. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you guys giving your feedback then as well. So that is it for the Magic Word. This is Scotty out. During the Saturday night show, Shoma had performed with a very interesting twist. He showed an app that he had on his iPhone and put together a cool little song. It was like creating art right in front of our eyes. Basically, he would overlay some tracks with him singing the same part, basically, well, different parts, I guess, and also he was adding background sound effects from coins jingling, from a card shuffling, and from an appearing cane, linking rings being linked. He'd make these noises, record them, and then lay one track on the other one, basically kind of creating the backbeat of this song, which you're about to hear just a portion from this. And it was pretty incredible putting the whole thing together. So here you get to hear a little bit from Shoma. Now over, and we're Now, basking in the afterglow, I'm here with next year's guest of honor, Mr. Oscar Munoz.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
And we're about to get on the elevator.
Yep.
So, and so, do you have any idea what to expect next year?
No, I'm nervous. I'm really nervous.
You should be.
Yeah, it's heavy hitters out there, and so I'm really nervous.
Yeah, well, you're a big target. Well, I mean it by that is.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I work on it.
Every day, three times a day.
Exactly. Well, sometimes more than that.
And sometimes. But, yeah, you got a good spirit of being able to take all the barbs that everybody throws at you all the time then, too. And so I know that they have planned this like 5 years ago, and you were like the...
Time flies when you're having fun. It was 5 years ago. I was the fifth one. Yeah, it goes by pretty fast.
Yep. And, you know, they get some pretty cool gifts, I guess.
Right,
you know,
right.
Is there something that you're looking forward to actually receiving? I mean, you've got a lot of trophies and everything already.
Yeah. Well, just the being honored, I think, is the best trophy you can have. Those are the memories that will last forever.
That's kind of what Sean was saying also, you know, that of being, you know, with you, with your friends, and this is kind of what it's all about, I guess, with just having a family that's going to be, you know, here.
And that's why it doesn't worry. I mean, yeah, they take jabs and they make fun of you and stuff, but it's because they love you and they care about you.
Absolutely. You know, if they didn't, they wouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't be noticed. You would just like being everybody
that's
else.
Right. Well, looking forward to seeing you here next year as a guest of honor. Of course, at the other functions we'll be talking throughout the rest of the year.
Well, it's a pleasure. So. It's a pleasure to be honored, but it's also looking forward to working with you in Florida in the IBM convention. I know that we're going to work hard to have a good team, and hopefully people come out and see us and the convention.
That's right. What Oscar's talking about, of course, is for next year's IBM convention. It'll be in Jacksonville, Florida.
That's right.
For 2015.
Right.
And so it's going to be, what's the dates? What are the dates? Something like July? What was the July?
Exactly. Yeah, about that time. But I think the lineup's going to be really good. I think people are going to have a great time, different. We're having I would think it's going to be a really good convention.
Yep. Ken Scott's really already started to line up some really cool people, and I hate the spoiling surprises, so I won't.
Exactly.
I
think people are going to be very surprised we're going to have booked. And I'm looking forward to working with you on the board for this convention.
It'll be great. Oscar, thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
And that was Oscar Munoz for The Magic Word. We'll run over and see somebody else here shortly. Scotty out. Well, with all the celebrity magicians who are around, here is another one. Not just a celebrity magician. Ice McDonald is also going to be the incoming president of the Society of American Magicians coming up at the combined convention this year. Hello there, Ice.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So good to see you, and congratulations on your upcoming mission.
Well, thank you.
I had just talked with Sean earlier about what all he's got planned for next year. So what have you got in store for the SAM?
Wow, we have a pretty full plate. We're actually my theme of my particular year will be administration will be the goodwill of SAM, and showing some of the good things, charity work that we do.
Hospitals and
I'm actually highlighting members who are going into the hospitals and doing being our goodwill ambassador to the sick as well.
On the local levels.
On the local levels.
Oh, okay, that's great, because there's so many people who do that. They're unsung heroes.
Oh yeah, and that's what I'm targeting. I'm also making it the year of the member.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to. I wanted the presidency to be about our membership and the wonderful things that they're doing.
Right.
Not just, you know, we get a lot of the spotlight, but there are some members who really are doing great things for the SAM.
Right. And so what kind of challenges, do you see? I mean, certainly right now that with the IBM as well are suffering some of the same types of challenges, that is with membership deterioration, as well as, like, advertising in the journals and that kind of a thing. There's not much you can do except just kind of be aware of it. I mean,
we're living in a new market world today.
True, that's true.
And so the... we have to reach a different plan for the market. One of my things that I want to accomplish is make the SAM a little younger. Mm-hmm. You know, just we have the SYM and then we have the SAM with the more, I would say, more mature artists.
Sure, sure, sure.
And we're missing that 18, maybe to 25 group.
That's a very good point.
And so what I want to do is I want to reach out to the internet generation,
mm-hmm.
and the Facebook generation,
and use bring, the social media more,
absolutely, to bring them into mm-hmm. the whole Magic family.
Sure.
And in addition to bringing them into the Magic family, is bring them into the SAM.
Yeah, and the way to do that, I think you got a good idea there, Ice, and that certainly is to reach them where they are watching.
Well, yeah, where they're parked at
where
at this
parked.
Moment.
Yeah,
they're
that's
parked,
the way to put it.
If you look at most of the younger generations, they either they're texting or mm-hmm. they're Instagramming or they're
sure.
on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they live. And we have to get out of our comfort zone
comfort
and go
zone,
to
right.
where they live.
That's right. Do you have someone who is a social media person for you? I mean, I know you've got a webmaster, but I mean, is there someone else
yeah,
that's
we,
handling
we're,
that?
Yeah, we have a couple of people in that's going to handle that. We have some young folks who are going to
excellent.
To basically show us the way, basically. You
mm-hmm.
know, we're pretty good at what we do as far as online, but the kids, they when I say kids, I mean the 18 to 25-year-olds, they are really savvy in that. So she's going to kind of direct us in the way
mm-hmm.
that we need to do to reach her generation.
Right, right. That's an excellent idea, certainly, that not only hitting them where they are right now, but it seems like that whatever's new today will be old tomorrow. So you got to keep on that leading edge as well.
Absolutely.
You know, Facebook certainly has been going on and on for a long time, but it's not going to last forever, obviously.
Yeah, but you know what? That generation tends to find the leading edge.
That's exactly right.
And so
we
got to
find it with them.
Or have someone to guide us
yeah.
when they find
there
it.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you got the right. Well, see, I think you guys have been kind of on the leading edge to begin with. I mean, the interactive website that you did to begin with,
right.
you know, the IBM has a great website now.
Mm-hmm.
You were the first ones, I think, did about a
right.
year before. But
right.
Very good website, a nice design, easy to maneuver and get
right.
around.
You know, everything used to be static. Now, things that we do on the internet, the web pages, and even the YouTube channels and stuff have to be interactive.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
we can't just look. Oh, they have to participate.
Right.
You know, they have to see, go to the video section or do a blog. So everything now is interactive. So that's where we have to live, I believe.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, the SIM for many years, of course, has had an international scope.
Mm-hmm.
And are you planning on traveling abroad then as well? Or are you going to try to focus it more on the national?
Oh, no,
or?
Because the SIM does, they still have the international scope. So you cannot leave them out.
Sure.
You know, yeah, I'm definitely planning on doing a lot of traveling during my administration,
mm-hmm.
but I am going to be going over to visit some of those SAM
mm-hmm.
assemblies abroad
mm-hmm.
to via bigger the convention and meeting with them or just going out and doing a little tour of the area
mm-hmm.
where these locations are.
You think you might be doing some lectures while you're out then as well?
Well, I've been approached about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been approached about it. I don't know because at this present time, my goal right now is to connect the national and the international with the
mm-hmm.
regional and the locals.
Right.
And that's been, from the time I've gotten involved in this, that's been my stand, is connecting mm-hmm. the links in the chain.
Sure. Okay. And we were talking about the youth, certainly, and the SYM, again, has been leading with that. Do they still have the magazine, the SYM?
It's the symbol.
Symbol, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they still work, they still
okay.
have the symbol. Matter of fact, they're redesigning it
mm-hmm.
To make it.
It's a physical magazine also?
Yeah, it was a physical,
yeah.
I believe it still is,
okay.
but they also have they're doing the online thing,
mm-hmm.
And they have a section on our national website.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be something that you'd have to have so that way they can access that, you
yes,
know, easily then.
Absolutely.
Then as well. Any other plans or long-term or something that you'd like to talk about?
Well, you know, promote? With having such a short administration, you kind of have to piggyback on things. So what I'm doing is I'm implementing a plan where I will be in touch with my president-elect, and he will be in touch with his first vice president.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is try to get a three-year plan, since it's hard to implement something in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to speak to them and see what, if their ideas are in line with mine. We can start it right now.
That's a very good
idea. And then when he get into the when that person gets into the office, his project will be
some continuity
already gone.
I think you have to have that. You can't have someone who's going to be disjointed and that within the next time. So, well, we're going to try to go a different direction and then a different direction.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you're almost grooming that next position.
And one thing I'm proud about, I just came up with it, is I want my regional vice presidents to go seek out the well-doers. You know,
what do you mean by that?
I have the option of giving the highest honor presidential citations to people.
Yeah.
But I want, there is an award that they can give out to their region.
Yeah.
And there are liaison. They know these folks. So I want them to seek out the well-doers in our clubs and present them with the regional vice president award.
A lot like those people who are helping with the charitable organizations and those kinds
And has given a
or
great...
acting as mentors for youth.
Absolutely.
And that kind of thing.
All that stuff. Sure. Because I think they have to understand that, and I want to really reach out because I want them to, I want to let them know that we haven't forgotten the assemblies.
Right.
That we are still, I am aware of what's going on locally.
Right.
You see?
Yep, I understand. Well, you know, one of the nicest awards I've ever received is whenever I got my presidential citation that Mark Whitehouse had given to me, and it was such a surprise. I was completely unexpected, and it was actually for this podcast. I mentioned that now because, you know, it said on there, you know, for the Magic Word and what I'm doing and for the Magic community, and, you know, the SAM was recognizing that. It just talk about it, give me goosebumps. I mean, it was just, it's wonderful when someone receives that, certainly.
You know, I'm going to definitely give some out. I've been observing people, and I think some of the things that I want to do is give them to the unsung heroes.
Yes.
The ones that will never get their picture in the magazine.
Yep.
The ones that
not going to be on the cover.
Yeah, they're never going to be in the cover, but they've done tremendously in reference to the art of magic and the benefit of the SAM.
Absolutely. You know, we have to have the backbone, and that is the people, I think, you know, who are the curtain pullers and move the chairs around and sell the tickets for the banquet, and they're there at all the meetings and whatever, you know.
And, you know, and they do the small things, and they don't want to be in the spotlight.
Sure.
They just want to do it for the sake of actually, because they have the passion to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not saying, look at me, put me on the cover, but I'm going to change that because I want to recognize them for the work that they do.
Right. Well, this is great. You know, I'm sure the people are going to be, the different assemblies around the world, around the country and the world are going to be looking forward to your visits.
Yeah, definitely. I'm planning on actually reaching out to all the assemblies, you know, the presidents, and let them know, hey, we know you there.
Yeah. You and know. We're here to help, and we're going to help you grow.
Right.
That's great. Well, that was Kendrick Ice McDonald. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on coming here and your administration. Appreciate that, Ice.
Thank
for being
you
on the Magic. Oh, and let me ask you too, buddy, that this is the name of my podcast. Of course, it's called The Magic Word. My question to you, as I like to end with others, is what is your magic word? And it's not like, you know, necessarily what you would use in the context of your show.
Right.
You have a sign and act. But the point is, what is it that's important to you? What do you live by? What is your motto, your life chi?
Well,
you know?
My life chi is integrity.
I like that's a good word.
It's integrity because I think no matter if I'm performing magic or whatever career I've selected, that is a very important part of what you have to have is integrity. Integrity guides the way you treat your family, the way you guide your audience, the way you just do your everyday work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and it's based on when no one's looking at you.
Yeah.
How are you actually acting? We can always act with integrity when people are looking at us.
Sure.
But how do we act?
Behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, or our life, what more do you have but just your integrity and your word?
Your
you know?
Word. And your word means a lot. So
that's right.
My integrity means more to me than money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you would have the biggest fight on your hands if you was trying to mess with my integrity.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. That's a word to live by. Thank you again, Ice. I appreciate it. Thanks for being on the Magic Word. And so for the Magic Word right now, this is Scotty out. Oh, 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 oh Okay, here we are. That I've got Joe DeLion with me. Hey, Joe. Good to see you. It's been a long number of years.
It's Joe Monty.
Joe Monty. Yes. I was talking about Joe DeLion.
Wait, Joe DeLion did the LF language. Yeah, that was Joe DeLion. And Joe DeLion once said that his father took him to a circus. There was sawdust everywhere. And he saw these acts, the strong man, the lady who can swallow the snake, and also the magician. And the father said, let's go see the lady who can swallow the snake. You remember that? That was Joe DeLion. Yeah. Well, yeah, back in Houston, yes. I remember this woman kept bothering
me. Magic Island, yeah.
A Magic Island in Houston, Texas. By the way, I was the last person to work Magic Island in Newport Beach. And I know they were at one time connected. They were not connected. Yeah.
I was the last one to work at the Magic Island in Houston. You
know, is that true, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was working in 2008, and whenever that they had the hurricane come through, and my wife and I were doing the show, and they called us and said, hey, we're not going to have a show here this evening because of the hurricane. Right. And that we'll call you tomorrow and let you know whether. And so we went down there and I got my costumes and some props, and I said, just in case, because the dressing room leaked. And then the next day, the hurricane wasn't as bad, but had apparently some water in the roof that leaked into the fluorescent lighting outside. The fire department had a high-pressure hose that did more damage than the hurricane did, and they didn't have enough insurance to cover it. And so that was the end of that, and so we were the last stage act that closed the place.
Wow. Well, yeah, I was the last act to work at Magic Island.
In Newport Beach.
Me and...
this is kind of funny.
Me and the guy who was on America's Got Talent, his name escapes me, Dan...
Sperry?
Not Dan, no. I want to say Dan Birch, but it's not Dan Birch. It's a really good act, too. He does the thing with the water, the lady on the water that floats up, and then puts a cloth over and rips it away, and she's gone.
Wow. Well,
I can't remember his name, but you'll add it in. No.
Okay.
Well, to the story that we were talking about,
it was this jazz magic that we were just talking about.
Yeah, my mouth is dry, you know, from watching a show for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But this girl kept bothering me at the island.
Yeah.
I didn't know if she was a stripper, and I was always told don't associate with the strippers.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided she wanted to take the card and shove it down, you know, in between her boobs.
Yeah.
And she didn't realize I switched the card at that point. But she was drunk, and you really want this card? Come get it. And she shoves it in there.
Yeah.
And I pulled this card out of my pocket real quick and go, but it's right there.
Yeah.
And when she pulled that card out of her boobs, because she was bothering me for like 20 minutes, this girl was, it was like she didn't want to be anywhere near me because she thought somehow I was Satan.
Yeah.
You know, she was drinking. So that's the thing I remember of a girl bothering me.
Yeah.
And then Scott kept, and all everybody who was there, if you remember Steve Shaw,
he
was Steve Shaw, not Banachek, and Frank Price, who I saw actually.
Frank was supposed to be here, but I'll see him when I get back. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't seen Frank since Las Vegas, maybe 10 or so years ago. Jeff Latta was still alive.
Yeah.
Dear friend of mine.
Yeah, number 10. Great coin guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeff Latta was...
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the best.
Mm-hmm.
He really was, and a sweetheart of a guy, too.
Yeah, he really was.
And he always sounded like Jack Nicholson. You remember that?
Yeah.
Watch this coin. You know, it was always that.
You knew that very well.
No, I hung out with Jeff many. Yeah, Jeff, I remember me, Jeff, Michael Skinner. We were hanging out, and he knew I was fascinated with Max Molina.
Yeah.
And every chance I got, I hid stuff under things for Jeff Latta. So I bought him grapes one time.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't get a block of ice.
Yeah.
But believe me, I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
So every time he would like say, "Oh, Joe, go get to this," I'd come back, you know, because you know, with the chips that were on the counter.
Yeah.
I'd bring it upside down. He'd lift it up. There'd be grapes under it. You know. God, you know, Scott, we should do this where like we can really maybe Skype or something, because there's a million stories.
I should give you a call and we'll do this, because
please do.
I've got some other guys, you know, that I talked to for like about an hour and a half or whatever, you know, so we can do on Skype, and so we can really make this expanded, because I know people will want to hear the stories and things you've been talking about too.
We noticed Magic Island Houston was such a special place because I just left Viacom. I was involved with the Cosby Show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was one of 100 back in the early 80s.
Okay. Were you one of the Cosby kids?
No, I wasn't. I was I was a required minority. That was me.
But the neighbor next door.
Yeah. But then in 1985, I believe, or six, they moved me over to Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And before I moved over, I was one of three who was selling to foreign countries. The other two guys got the travel. I didn't.
Yeah.
And then I went on something different. So they put me at Showtime, which was fantastic. And then I started doing magic professionally in 1986.
Yeah.
And I sucked. You know, I mean, I sucked for the real world. You know, I sucked for like one of the small groups and all that. But so many great stories of first place, big place I worked is Magic Island, Houston.
Uh-huh.
And Scott Hollingsworth and Richard Hatch, if I remember, was there.
Yeah, Dick was there. And it was Frank Shaw and Frank Price and myself. And
trying to think who was back there at that time. I know with Kurt Miller. I don't think Jamie Salinas was there.
Yeah, you know, I remember I worked there with Mr. Electric when he did the Puzzle Act, and I remember when he was almost killed by a guy on stage because he got hooked. Oh, there's so many stories.
Okay, we'll call you.
Please do.
Okay, you guys are going to stay tuned for when we get together.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, let's wrap this one up.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, Joe Monte, here on the Magic Word. And let me ask you, what is your magic word? What is important in your life? What do you live by?
Family.
That's a good word. Yeah. That's good. Family, it is. And so that was Joe Monte for the Magic Word. Scotty out. Well, we're doing another elevator talk, and I've got with me this time John Bannon over here. Hey, John.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm great. How have you enjoyed the convention?
Oh, it's great. It was great. It was better than even usual.
You've been to quite a few. What number is this for you?
I've been coming since 1985.
Yeah.
So if I went to every single one, that'd be 30, but I missed a few.
You've been working on a book here of late, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a book on totally self-working car tricks. I mean, the bar is very low. No brakes.
So it's not just semi-automatic, it's completely automatic.
Completely automatic, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a challenge.
Yeah, and what would you say would be the best trick? And what's your pet effect? Which one do you like the best in the book?
There's a mind-reading trick in there where they think of a card, and you put one card on the table, and you nail it.
And what's called? What'd you name it?
I call it AK-47, and the reason, you have to read the book to find out why.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's some of the most fun is trying to come up with the titles. It's kind of like headlines, you know, when you're working for a newspaper.
Right,
you know, thinking of trick names.
It's part of the process, yeah.
Do you come up with the ideas for the tricks first before the title, or vice versa?
Usually the tricks first.
Okay, and Henry Evans, you were just stellar tonight. You were wonderful.
That was amazing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Had a good lecture and a good performance.
Oh, thank you so much.
He killed me.
Pleasure for me to be here always.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I enjoy a lot.
And great. What number is this for you? How many have you been here?
This is the number 9.
Okay.
Just want to get out.
And so, oh, yep. Okay. I think it's where we get out also. This is the donut floor over here.
Okay.
So. Thank you guys very much. That was Henry Evans and John Bannon for the Magic Word. Scotty out. Well, we just finished the evening show, and I told you I would hopefully get a chance to talk with the guys who closed the show, the two roommates who were working on this for a long time, of course, Rick Merrill and Stephen Bragazzi, but also got Will Fern, and Will was the guy. What was your thought, by the way, Will, as far as the evening show, and particularly Stephen and Rick?
Well, it's probably the most remarkable show I've ever seen, the variety.
The whole full evening?
Yeah, the evening show was just the variety was nailed right. The juggler was in there, did a great job, as jugglers always do.
Yep.
But so many great variety of magicians, from manipulators, comedy acts, they ran the gamut. Obi did it perfect. And when these guys come out, and Merrill and Bargazzi get a chance to lampoon everybody, and his gloves off, have at it, boys, they did it. And the final part where after they made fun of Tim Ellis having a pretty cathartic, heavy experience with some pieces, you know, kind of acknowledging his breakup with Sue Ann.
Yeah.
When they went on about their breaking up and were getting sad, and Tim walked in and gave
and closed it by
closed
hug,
it by
giving, a
giving Rick a big Rick. Hug, getting over the fact that Steve left him. It just made the two guys who were the biggest rip apart guys instantly. They became the guys with the biggest a holes became the guys with the biggest hearts in one split second. And everybody, what was the kind of the elephant in the room? Would Tim be okay with it? Everything was instantly right. Tim was great, and everybody realized these guys have the biggest hearts in the room, and it was just a wonderful way to end a convention. It was wonderful. You should have been there.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Steve, Rick, so how, what did you, obviously you had worked this out, you know, with, I know that you guys are very sympathetic, and did you
it don't worried, seem that way.
No, it doesn't
that's
seem that way.
That's a very nice word. We don't hear that adjective very much. Sympathetic.
Is that an
adjective? Like the silks.
Yeah.
Where that you, I mean, you will go and ask someone, is it okay? I mean, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah,
you know,
you know what, that's, Scott, I, we don't really, sometimes we don't, because there's some guys we know. But that's what makes what we do hard sometimes, because, I mean, Oscar's a good friend.
Yes.
So, I know that.
Yeah.
But maybe there's someone in the room who don't know
how close
that,
you guys that, are.
Like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But there's some people.
When you say a joke or something, exactly.
But we really hope, as Spectres, that it's almost a badge of honor if you make that last show.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it really is. I mean, he said, wow, I made it in.
Yeah.
He said that. said about Hannibal.
Taking a photo.
Okay, he'll be with you in a minute.
As soon as the show was over, we came around. Hannibal came
Rick Guy, the guy who's the FISM winner, is the star right now, by the way.
Yeah.
He's got to get his picture taken. Not you, though, I noticed. Didn't ask you.
But Hannibal came out. Yeah. Came around. As soon as it was over, Hannibal. Let him tell that because Hannibal said it.
Okay, Rick, what did he say? What did Hannibal say? Chris Hannibal.
Okay, sure.
Okay, you finished taking your pictures over there, Mr. Fism Star?
Sorry, no more photos. Please, guys. I'm trying to do an interview with
somebody.
Just Scott.
What's your name again?
So, Hannibal, he said, when he saw me, he just hit me on the arm and said, hey, I've arrived. You know, so like, he got a joke made about him in the show, and so I think he just felt like, you know, hey, he's one of the gang now. So, yeah it's good.
It's great,
you know. it was a pretty funny joke.
I'm glad we waited
but
for that.
We okay, really, so. But again, I don't think we said it. We don't set that much stuff up. But if we really think that it might be questionable, and what they said to go up and tell everything to Tim what we wanted to do, we first kind of felt him out to kind of see. He did understand. He said he's doing fine inside, but he felt like
it's been like 2 years.
Yeah, and he said it felt like his lecture was. Some people took it the wrong way and went to some things because they thought the photo might have been real or something. So then, he felt a little down about that. So we kind of go, we're going to give you a chance to rise above all that.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of rare that we really let him in on a couple things, but we did because we did not want.
Let's kind of set this up a little bit. Because some people, obviously, they weren't here. So tell them what happened. I mean, as far as in his lecture that Tim Ellis was talking about, he had this thing in which he was describing the importance of having your audience care about you. And we had interviewed him the other day, and if you can go back and listen to one of those podcasts that I talked to Tim Ellis, and he was talking about what the acronym CARE stands for, connecting with your audience and everything. But he was also doing then a trick in which that he had his former girlfriend and how they had broken up and never
speaking to Tim.
We're talking to Tim Ellis right there. We're just talking about come on over here, Tim.
Oh, is this the gospel? What's happening?
That's right. No. Yeah. We're just saying about what you're
setting up the ending.
We're trying to set up the ending. Yes. What did this all work?
What do you really think of Rocco?
Well, I toured with him in China. And it was quite an eye-opening experience.
And so that it was an idea in which that you were showing a picture of you and Sue Ann, and then the next picture was.
It wasn't me. It wasn't Sue Ann.
It was not. Everybody keeps saying
it wasn't. Who was that?
It was just an actress.
Okay, yeah. It was a blonde.
It was part of a show that was not about me. I've actually just been speaking to a friend of mine who was saying, "Well, maybe the show was autobiographical." I mean, it wasn't autobiographical.
Well, I thought it was more. You know? Okay. Well, then
it was just my acting.
That was
acting
the mix-up.
Skill.
Yeah, I believed it. See, it was so good. I believed it.
People project what they think onto us, and that's the way it works.
Okay, so it seemed that you had this emotional breakup, obviously, and so that was what these guys, Steve and Rick had played off.
They did.
Yeah, okay. So
they took advantage of me for humor.
They used you. That's right.
They led everyone at 4F astray.
And so that was the point. I was just trying to set this up so that way that the people who are listening to this kind of know what they did. So then, Rick, you guys did what?
We made a few jokes.
On his behalf.
That's right.
Okay. But, but again, not necessarily we had to get permission, but we know him well enough to know that Tim, he's going to take it. And that's a part of what 4F is.
But let me sum it up. I think to sum it up, I would be mortified, like really, truly mortified if I thought or if I knew that like someone was offended or hurt. Like, not other people, right? But the person that I'm making the joke about, right? I would never say anything that I didn't think that person would be okay with. And either I've asked them or I just know them well enough that, they do it. So I would be, I think Steve's the same way. Like, we're not making jokes just to try
hurt
to
people,
hurt
be funny.
People, yeah. Right. But I mean, part of 4F, I mean, at least part of what I do, I mean, you got to have an edge. I mean, to be funny, sometimes you have to have an edge and you have to hit, this group of people, we're kind of a close-knit group of people.
people. And
well, it used to be that they would do a roast, you know, for the, like Sean Farquhar, whoever the guest of honor was, you know. But they don't do a roast anymore, where they kind of use this biting, satirical types of jokes and
the
everything.
The whole convention's like a roast for them, really.
But that's exactly right.
You get all people doing their act, and some people will just slip a reference to the guest of honor in throughout the act, so they get roasted there.
But at the very end, you guys really seem to be the roast, you know, for those guys.
Yeah, that's our job.
The roast masters. Yeah, the roast masters, exactly. At the end, you brought it home, you know.
I think they need enough magic.
But there's, listen, the jokes that we come up with that we don't use, you know, I mean, those are the greatest ones that I just want to tell that Steve has to rein me back.
He had a Scott Weld lunch.
Breakfast.
Do you remember what it was?
We did have a...
So I would have made it.
You were on it.
You got cut.
You feel bad that you were cut.
Yeah, I was cut.
That was a Scott Wells breakfast. We need to go get our cheese.
He's going to go stick the microphone in your mouth.
Just dropped a Sharpie.
It's unbelievable.
You're practicing as we're talking.
Never dropped a Sharpie. So anyway, listen.
You were making a point about
we're just trying to have fun and make people laugh. And
sure,
if we've ever offended anyone, then live with it.
Well, yeah, but I think that people will feel as if that you don't care for them if you're not jabbing fun at them. You know, I mean,
people feel left out. It's like when they're editing the happy dance.
Yeah,
there were a few people who they didn't put into it, and I was saying, these guys are going to be like, oh, you filmed me, but you didn't leave me in the dance sequence.
I didn't dance well enough.
Yeah, that's always the problem. If you start including people, you've got to include everybody sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like you're left out.
Yeah.
It's like, well, come on then. Mm. Yeah.
Scott, were there any uncomfortable laughs from you for the show? Did you think that we...
No, I was surprised you didn't use the bulldog and mayonnaise, however.
That's definitely another that's out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
To go there.
Like, Steve and we won't do sexual jokes. I mean, I know it's kind of weird. Like, I'll do jokes about death or people dying, but I won't touch, you know,
sexual
innuendos. Yeah, we won't get into sexual innuendos or any of that stuff.
We knew right away after that we wasn't going there.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. You know, I think it was,
right, Maria
it was appropriate. Yeah. That's right.
I would never do anything
so. So, I think you did a great job. It was a lot of fun, and as Will Fern had said over there, you know.
And once again, we came
Who's
with nothing.
Will Fern?
Yeah, who is that guy? but we came with nothing. And so you went home
with nothing.
Really wrote it. And we're putting stuff right at the last minute.
Yeah.
The pretzel.
Yeah.
And stuff came from an actor with, what, two people in front of us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or something. So, I mean, it's fun for us to have to work that hard and think.
And this is your eighth year of doing this?
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
8th year of me and him doing it together.
I mean, together, yeah.
I had 2 years before that.
You and Roger Klaus were beating up each other.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Right, but we did all that breakfast stuff. I didn't know until Friday. Eric DeCamps told me he had the Rick Merrill breakfast. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
And so he explained it. So then we started, trying to write jokes about that.
Right.
Which
right.
is a great... I mean, the breakfast premise, I think, is great.
Explain that again so that people who don't know
what you're talking about. Let's do some of the breakfasts. What were they? You had to start off with the first one.
So, we can't do the Christian and Catalina one because most people listening don't know who they are.
Wait a minute. Christian, right? He's in the MUM magazine.
I'm saying.
Okay.
My first breakfast was what happened here is OB had the breakfast in the hotel. It was named after a bunch of magicians. And there was a Borghetti one. It was a Continental. There was a Rick Merrill. And we saw some things. So we made some additional. Mine was we had the Rocco breakfast.
Yeah.
And it was powdered sugar. And it was served to you on a little glass mirror with a rolled up dollar bill. And then he had the...
We had the Marietta breakfast, which is ham and cheese omelet with steak and eggs and peppers, fruit, just about everything, but it's just missing something.
Yeah, the Gene Anderson, what was that? That was what, you forgot it?
No, it's just not that funny.
I had the Oscar Munoz, and it was
Oscar who?
Munoz. I can't say his name. I can't put it.
You got that tongue thing.
It's killing me. My tongue won't work that way. But Oscar, and it was all you can eat.
Which, but I told you we shouldn't make fun of his weight. That's not.
And he's correct, and I wouldn't do that. It had nothing to do with his weight. It was just you order it, and Oscar had to serve you all you could eat.
Yeah.
But then there was the
Sean
best.
Farquhar, is he a Canadian bacon?
Yeah, yeah, that was the real one. That
yeah.
was real.
Okay.
That was on the thing. And then the last one was the Obi O'Brien.
Yeah, the Obi O'Brien breakfast, it tastes just like cardboard, but everyone will tell you it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I wish we could think of the Scott Wales. We had a Scott Wales breakfast. I know we did. It's written down. We have to think of it.
Okay, next year.
But apparently it just didn't quite make it.
Yeah, just a cut below the rest.
My favorite that didn't make it was the Mike Caveney breakfast. It's steak and eggs, biscuits and gravy. It'll just about kill you, but right before it does, it'll swoop in and try to buy your magic collection.
Don't laugh, Scott. You're going to get knowledge in trouble.
That's what my wife says about H&R Magic, whenever the Dick Hatch and Charlie Randall used to run that, you know, there in Houston, that she always said, whenever I die, you always knew that Dick Hatch would come by and say, Kathy, I feel so sorry for you, but let me look at Scott's stuff, see what you got here. I'll be glad to help you out.
I'm just going
to
help you.
Vultures will circle, right?
That's right. That's right. Thank you guys very much. You did a great job when we heard that this evening. And Tim, thank you. You were really great, too.
Part of
you had to probably get a lot of votes for the VIP, you know, I'm sure. I'm surprised you didn't win here. Have you won before for the VIP?
MVP, I won that 2001, I think, the first time we were here. Yeah.
And rightly so. You're a great guy.
Do they do repeat winners? Can you win more than once?
No. I don't know. If I had, it would have been the first time. It would have been very bizarre, but I don't know. But I thought when I saw Michael's reaction when he got it, it was, you know, he was overwhelmed. He was just...
Oh, he was?
Yeah. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, for those of you who are listening, Michael Dardant won for... he had done just a fantastic...
Spot on.
Imitation of
better
Sean
than the real thing.
Better than the real
thing. Much better than the real thing.
Yeah.
Friendlier.
More humble. More skilled.
Michael Dardant was just fantastic as Sean Farquhar. And there he is right now. Hey, go ahead. Do a little bit of Sean for me here, to Michael.
Oh, hey. How you doing? This is Sean Farquhar. I just want to say how amazing Michael Dardant was. He imitated me perfectly, and he actually did some cool magic, but nobody remembered the magic because his show was so funny. It was great.
He's so adorable.
He's so adorable.
That's the most valuable person here in Texas this year.
That's right.
Michael.
Yep.
Well deserved.
Yep. Congratulations. That was fantastic, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Yeah, it's actually, it's overwhelming, really, to think, because...
You were so surprised.
I thought that you had to kiss Obi's ass for like years and years and years before you'd ever be considered.
Back to cardboard, but
you know,
it was just one big long kiss.
Just stay there a while. But to be acknowledged by your peers, like that's the pride but shock value combined is a very unusual feeling. And. And just so warm. Like I kept waiting
try
for it to
win
be a joke.
FISM. Steve, do you know somebody who's won FISM?
That's what's awesome about this place is you have people that lift you up and you have people that put it in perspective for you immediately, like Rick Merrill.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's like you feel so good, and then all of a sudden they put a prick in your balloon, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, wait a minute, they prick your balloon. I'm sorry.
Grand.
Much better.
That's why I kept thinking like maybe it's a joke and like Rick's gonna come go. No, isn't that a good one? I came up with that one. Yeah. Darn all MVP. That's a good one, isn't it? but it's such an honor that I don't even know how to explain it to my family. Like, how do you explain to Muggles, you know, what an honor that is, you know? And because like, or that you won an award. Because like, I thought it was a competition.
Yeah.
And no, it's not a competition. Yeah. I thought you were at a convention. Yeah, I know, but it's.
But they like me.
They like me.
They're making fun of a guy that liked awards.
They like me. They honestly like me. They really like me.
Yeah.
So the lesson is, just at a magic competition or a magic convention, just be try to be as funny as possible, and then they'll assume you're a good magician.
So don't be yourself, basically.
Yeah, be someone else.
Hey,
now you're getting personal. That's a little too tough.
So who should somebody be next year?
Well, obviously, someone's going to have to imitate Oscar, and everybody thinks I'm going to, but I have something
else.
You're
going to gain some weight.
Yeah, that's
a few things going against your imitation.
That's easy to do if you hang around here long enough, for
sure. Well, that's why it has more donuts and everything. I think
I really think that the Oscar is going to be the toughest one we have. Just because,
you think?
I think because...
Low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
That's what I've done. Steven, I'm with you.
But I'm saying by the time Saturday night comes, it'll be worn out.
Oh, and it'll be overdone. The same joke.
It'll be overdone and everything. Because I think, Oscar, you talk about another guy, he's a good guy, good heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's everything great about him, like Sean was. But so everybody's going to pick on him because they feel safe.
Yeah.
And that's what it was with Sean. Sean's just a great guy. Everybody felt like they could do that.
Right.
So everybody did.
So you don't think you could do a good Oscar Munoz impression?
I think it's going to be the toughest one we ever do, just because of that. And it might be the funniest thing for us to do, which is nothing. Yeah, you know, it's like, what's the difference between Oscar and Rocco? Oscar's a really nice guy. I really like Oscar. He's pretty good.
The difference between...
See, you're laughing already. I think we go back. Everything, we do nothing bad. Well, everybody's waiting for this big zinger.
We like Oscar.
Everybody else in the concert.
I got the difference between Oscar and Rocco. Both of them go into a Dollar General. Yeah. Rocco comes out and shows you all the stuff in his sleeves. Oscar just walks away with it.
That's a good one. You're killing me over here.
But to be serious for a moment, because I mean, so many people, like, I mean, Tim, I saw a lecture years and years ago. He doesn't remember me. The people that have influenced me forever, and Sean has been just such a hero and so giving. I mean, he opened his act as he's the guest of honor, and he opened by honoring me, which was a total surprise.
And he gave you that award
from
he spent all the time to
he handmade an award.
Yeah,
and to make sure I had it because it bothered him that I didn't.
To be clear, what we're saying is Sean has a trophy making device at his home.
There's no limit.
No wonder he has. There's no limit to the trophies.
Have you been to his house and seen the trophy room? trophy rooms.
Exactly.
I mean, my ancestors.
And he's just always so thoughtful of everyone else, and from a magician standpoint, there's so many people that I'm so honored to be around here. But don't. I'm glad they're distracted because I don't want them to even hear me. But from a comedian standpoint, I'm so honored to work with these guys, Steve, Rick, and Steve, because I see from a magician standpoint and comedian, because I love comedy, so I see from like two different perspectives. So there's so many people here that I'm just so honored as a magician to be with, but these guys for sure, the fact that like I get to talk to them and hang out with them is such an honor, and so I hope that they don't hear me, because you don't want them to have a big head, for sure. He's got enough trophies.
Well, yeah.
He's got to remind everyone that he has probably more than Sean.
Yeah. No, they didn't take it wrong. What was really nice with Michael's impression was that it wasn't just a one-note impression.
Yeah.
He had the material to back it up, and it was about 5-10 minutes or something like that you did, but it was funny consistently. It didn't peter out and be like, okay, he's a guy dressed up doing the funny voice.
Right.
It was just, the material was strong and consistent through the whole thing.
You know, that's a good point. I went to a comedy club one time, and I saw someone who was painted blue, and he was like a Smurf, and he did a bunch of blue jokes, and it was kind of funny for the first 5 minutes, but after that, I mean, he was there for like 20 or 30 minutes, and so he started doing comedy, and he was in blue, but it had, it wasn't funny after a while. He's like, why is this guy still blue, but he's doing other jokes? But you're exactly right, Tim, because that you were able to continue to do some comedy in character,
Without blue material.
And I thought it was funny whenever that Sean got up and he was, it looked like you guys were in a mirror with each other,
Yeah. It was like an older, fatter mirror that I was looking into. That was great, yeah. That was wonderful.
That's right. And Eric Lubestan, you were here, and you did a great job, by the way, of performing there as well. And
that what was one of your highlights of the convention, by the way? What was one of your highlights of the convention? What did you enjoy?
Mario Lopez.
Oh, yeah, Mario Lopez.
For me, is my wow.
He is the one that I have heard the most about. I mean, on the podcast, people keep mentioning his name.
Oh, yeah?
And I think he's kind of like a Jan Frisch, you know, that he could be a FISM winner. This guy is really
Grand Prix for me.
Well, and that's the difference between doing a trick and doing an act, doing a story, doing a routine.
Yeah.
We were sucked into his story. We were with him the entire time because it wasn't a trick. It wasn't doing a magic trick. The magic was happening because he was a character. He was telling a story, and we were along for the ride. And he was definitely one of my favorite acts for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope to see him competing. Maybe not against me, but I hope to see him competing for sure because he deserves awards.
He's in Europe, you know.
Yeah, let him stay in Europe. Yeah. I asked him, I said, are you competing, but not North America, right? Okay, good.
You're good. I'll see you at FISM.
Exactly. Mario Lopez and the Pierrick from Switzerland.
Remind me, what did he do?
Do you remember with three tricks, a card trick, a coin trick, and a couple
balls? Yes, he put his leg.
Yes.
Now, and he twisted his leg, his foot around everything. Has he got a bad foot? Is that a real thing, or does he have like a fake leg?
No.
Okay, I thought maybe that he had
it
like
fake.
Yeah, it did look like a fake leg.
Does, but no.
He must do yoga.
Oh yeah.
Do they do yoga in Switzerland?
Maybe. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, he was limber.
They must call it something else.
Yeah. Swiss yoga.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They got a name for everything, like their cheese. No, their cheese is Swiss cheese. It's not a different name.
They just call it cheese.
It's called cheese. Yeah.
But the best. It's Michael Jordan. It was so funny.
Michael Jordan was.
Yeah,
he was. And you're not saying it because he's a buddy of yours, but he was really genuinely good. And that's why he was voted the MVP.
And it was with his heart, you know?
Oh, with his heart, that's true.
That's why you could feel it. You could feel it.
Well, you were just feeling his heart,
yeah,
so.
Sure.
Okay. It was so people great. Can't see that. You're feeling his
I'm
chest.
Really happy for my friend, okay. Michael. Really, really, because. Yeah. It's true. It was really the best, I think, with a.
Well, you
really
guys got a kinship, you know, doing street magic and everything together then, too.
He just came and visited me in New Orleans, and he fell in love with the city, so who knows, he might end up moving
here. Well, he's got the tattoo on
him
right
there. He's tattooed in my heart.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what's great about this camaraderie, is I got to tell people that watch me on stage, my fans that come to my shows, I get to tell them that not only do I meet some of the most amazing magicians in the world because I'm honored to be invited to this, but I get to, they want to visit New Orleans, and I get to bring them and share these guys.
Right.
So I pulled Eric up on stage with me at a burlesque show in New Orleans and had him do an act with me.
Really?
And people got to see the French magician and his magic and this his originality that I get to present and share with my people because I was invited to here to this and to experience this and meet guys like him.
Yeah.
And so that's an amazing ability to be able to then bring that home and share with them.
Yeah.
So, that was awesome.
Don't kiss guys. Come on, guys. Go.
Yeah. You get too close. Well, the 90s. Young. Well, I already made out with a Japanese guy under a table, so that was fun.
That was Michael Dardan. Our MVP.
All right. Are you coming back next year?
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. And that we've had just a great conversation over here. Okay. So with the magic words, this is Scotty out. Well, the 44th Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic is now pretty much in the can. What I mean by that is that it is done. Not that it's in the can because it hasn't been in the toilet. This has been a great convention. Obi O'Brien, here we go. We started with you. We're going to end with you. Thanks a lot for putting on a great convention this time.
I don't know how I did it this time, Scotty, because everybody says it's better every year. And when I go home, my first thing my daughter's going to ask me, don't tell me this one was better than the last one. And you know what I mean? I said, ask the people that came.
Yeah. I tell you, there were some knockouts. I mean, just standing ovations after standing ovations, you know. I mean, just some of these guys and the people you brought in, you know, that the one fellow that was the YouTube sensation, what's his name? I can't pronounce it.
Oka.
Oh, my gosh. I voted for him as being the most valuable person, you know. Yeah. Oh, gosh. He was impressed with the yo-yos and...
Yep.
And whatever else he did. And Henry Evans, you know, would just knock me out this evening.
He's always a bundle of joy, and I mean, I saw he's fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
All these guys were just really good and a lot of fun. Very good show for the final show that you did. And I think the part of the joy of coming here, aside from it being a family kind of a thing and people just enjoying being with each other and seeing each other this time of the year and the closeness we have and sharing ideas and sessioning and that kind of a thing, but it's also seeing these top acts that we wouldn't otherwise ever see again like this. In other words, that you'd have to pay so much, I think, to attend a convention to see maybe one or two of these. But for all of these guys, be in one place at one time for just 4 days and nights, I mean, you do a phenomenal job, so I just want to thank you very much.
Well, Scotty, I accept that, and I'm glad that I can do it. And when I travel all over the world, mm-hmm. when I go to Taiwan or Korea or China or England or France or Germany, I'm always looking for good talent. And the people that I talked about coming here, they have a tremendous act for close-up. And I see about 160 close-up acts a year, and I try to get the good guys to come here so they can see what it's like on the other mm-hmm. side of the world.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, of course, early on, as I remember 30 years ago attending, you know, that it was more local, I mean, Canadian and the U.S., and that the guys came over from England, perhaps, but, you know, that each year it seemed to expand more and more internationally, and, of course, with the Internet, you know, that it's a global village that we live in, and I feel like when I come here, this is a global village.
You're right, and the camaraderie at 4F is really, really good. I mean, not bragging because I put the convention on, but I have one happy family.
Yep.
And the guys that come, people for the first time don't believe the camaraderie that's here.
Right.
And you know what I mean? I oftentimes tell the guy wants to do a FISM act and they want to find out how good he is. I said, there's got to be 8 or 10 guys here that will help you out. Mm-hmm. They'll just watch what you did and they say, do this, don't do this, and so on. And they give them really good advice.
Yeah. Well, you find some really good talent. I mean, I know that you are a judge in different contests and you attend a lot of conventions. You know, like Hank Morehouse, you know, used to get a lot of good talent for the SAM and everything because he had traveled around.
Exactly yeah. right.
And so you're able
exactly
to do the same
right.
kind of thing, you know. So you see some of the best and you can, you have a good discerning eye. You know,
yep.
bringing in some of these guys. And, well, so let me ask you, you know, who was one of your favorites? I mean, it's like, you know, like, who's my favorite child? I mean, I don't mean that. But, I mean, was it something that stuck out or something that you really liked this year?
Well, I liked them all, but, I mean, I brought in a guy from Japan who was a juggler and not really a magician. And he performed twice for me, which is the first time ever at 4F.
Yeah, two people. I mean, one person performed two times.
Correct. That's
yeah.
the first time ever.
Ever. Yeah.
And he got a standing ovation at both of them.
Both times.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And then the guy I brought in from Norway did a fantastic job. And the guy I brought in from another country did a fantastic job. You know, from Switzerland and something. So, I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has been good. And Joan Caesar has been also just another person who has been great. In helping, so thank you, Joan, by the way, too. I know as you're walking by over here, so, as being kind of the second person in charge over here.
Right.
So, you know, after you see these kinds of things and after it's over, I mean, you got to think, okay, how can I top that? Just like your daughter is saying, you know.
You're right. First thing my daughter is going to ask me when she calls up on Monday night when I get home. She's going to say, Dad, don't tell me this was the best ever.
Yeah.
The wife's going to say the same thing, too.
So. Yeah. But next year we've got great plans, and Oscar Munoz is going to be our guest of honor.
Yes, and some guys come along and they say, who's your lectures next year? And I said, well, I'm not telling you yet, but I have, of course, Oscar's going to be one lecture.
Yeah.
I got a guy from Hungary, and I got three other guys from another country. That
you've already got a plan.
Hey, I planned 2-3 years down the road.
Oh, man.
I don't have lectures from the United States or Canada because when you come to 4F, okay, as an example, I'm going to say Mr. A, I won't mention who's Mr. A, what his name is. I just picked the letter A. He lectures all over the United States.
Okay.
Why should I bring him to 4F?
Because you can see him
all over the United States.
Good point. Not that he's a bad lecturer.
No.
It's just that you've already seen him.
Right.
But
that's a good
point.
Not only I've seen him, lots of other guys have seen him.
Sure.
So when I bring lectures in, they're all from overseas.
Yeah.
Asia, South America, etc.
That's a good point.
to go back and look at all my lectures have been.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought about that, but that's true.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Huh. Yeah, because we have a lot of guys who, you know, I mean, I work with booking lecturers around, and
you're right.
There's nobody who is here. I mean, they're here performing, but they're not lecturing.
You're right.
Because they've already been seen.
Yeah, well, I got a guy on the West Coast who wants to come here and lecture, and, you know, I take care of the lecturer's fee for the registration. I take care of their room. But why should I take care of their fee in a room if they lecture all over the United States? Mm-hmm. I mean, I got 150 guys from the United States that come here.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you dollars to donuts, the guys that I have the 150, I've seen them someplace. You know, and if half those guys have seen them, why should I bring them?
Right.
So all my lectures, if you go back to the last 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. the only ones that are from America or Canada are the guests of honor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like Oscar's United States, Sean Farquhar's Canada.
Yeah.
The Beam was United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but every once in a while I get, like when Henry Evans was the lecturer, he's from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And stuff like that. I just won't take anybody that... It's the United States or Canada.
Right. You know, changing gears for just a minute, you know, we talked earlier about the fact that we really don't have any kind of roast anymore like we used to have, but we have more of honors for guests of honor. And that was something that I guess you leave up to Steven Bergazzi and Rick Merrill as far as trying to hit these guys. That's the real roast.
Right. Exactly.
Which
right.
They don't pull any punches. You know, whenever you have the, for the guest of honor that you award lots of nice gifts and whatever, it's like, okay, you're great and whatever. But then whenever Steven comes, they just let loose with just some.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like a Dean Martin roast.
There you go. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Only it's a 4F roast.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a Vector's finger flicking frolic
yeah.
roast.
I think Steven and Rick are just the best for closing. You know?
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah. And, I mean, they've done it for the last 8 years.
Yep, and there's a reason for that, obviously, that they keep delivering every time. You know,
yeah.
They're like the postman, you know.
You're exactly right.
Well, you've done a great job, and I just wanted to end this on you and thanking you very much and just saying I'm looking forward to next year with Oscar. I think it'll be great.
I think it will, too. And thanks for interviewing me, and I hope all you guys, sometimes if you got good magic and you win a contest and you want to come to 4F, just let me know.
You got it.
Thanks,
and we talked earlier about how to apply. You know what to do. Thanks a lot, Obi.
Okay.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out.